Common mental disorders are known to affect many people around the world, and the story is no different for South Sudan, country which is recovering from civil war. Now, some people have found refuge in the consumption and abuse of drugs, which appears to provide some form of satisfaction as the most available solution. But how much do we know about drug abuse and its effect on a human being? Well, to help us understand about this, I'm glad to be joined this morning here by medical practitioner Dr. Atong Ayuen. Dr. Atong, good morning, and it's good to always have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had you here. It's good to have you. Now, also from civil society, we have team leader and youth health activist at the Action We Foundation, Daniel Juma Eshien Ade. Good morning, Daniel. Good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Savita. It's good to be back once again.
Yes, it's good to have you here in the program. And before we go to Dr. Atong to even talk to us about drug consumption and, of course, the impact on mental health, let's talk to you, Mr. Daniel, because you have a story. You have a story, and you're not afraid to share this story of yours with anyone, on how, you know, you were involved in taking drugs from the beginning and how you got into being an activist. Just tell us about your story first.
Well, thank you so much, Sevit. I think my drug story began when I was in P3.
Primary 3.
When I was in a border town called Kaya. And I think most of us know, which is in the southwest of Juba. And it's a border town, cosmopolitan, different cultures and backgrounds were by then converging. And I was introduced to some of these substances. And I think I began with smoking the papaya and then the purple leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually found my way into taking the local brewed alcohol. And then I was introduced to marijuana. And then I also got introduced to we call local magerere, and sometimes they call it cocaine, where you put the leaves and then start dragging all the seeds, and then it makes you high. And then later on, when I went to primary, that's in primary 5, and I was in a boarding school, that's when I got introduced now to cocaine. And then eventually to secondary, I still continued taking some of these substances. And until also I began working, I was also working to sustain my addiction, where I find myself going to work and I have to do drugs before I go to work. I have to do drugs. And professionally, I'm a broadcast journalist. I've been practicing for more than like 9 years in South Sudan. But in all those 9 years, like, it have to be associated with
substances.
Yes. So I got my turning point in 2019 when I lost my son. And we all know that addiction comes with a lot of consequences. One of them is the economic factor. And I was badly down without money. And tell my parents that I've been working all these years and I have no savings.
Mm-hmm.
And in my culture, once you lose a child, everybody comes to your house to come and grieve with you. But in that moment when they're in the house, of course, you need to be providing some things. The uncles of the child is coming. So there was a lot of issues I was going through. And with that, it sank me more into addiction, because I didn't have money. I don't know how to face my in-laws, how to face my parents, how to explain things up. So one time they asked me, like, Dan, we need you to come home and you should be sober. So when I came home and I talked before people sober, I realized they were listening to me more, and there was so much respect compared to the previous days when I used to come home when I was high. And then I realized I need to do something about this. And that night I also realized a lot of my friends are progressing and I'm still behind, and I can't go to those social networks because I feel like I'm so low. I lost my esteem. I felt so low. And that's when I started opening up to some people about my challenges with drugs. And so they asked me, like, what's my plan? I just said I need distractors. And that's when I started employing in some distractors. One, I started having cooking in my house.
You start to cook.
Yeah, simple things. Start having cooking. And then I also have to visit a doctor so that they can be able to diagnose what's the level of the effect of the drugs with me. And then in the process of the cooking, I find that I have no time to go to a suite with my bad circle. That's the circle of taking drugs, because I wake up in the morning, I have dirty utensils from the other night, I have to wash the chap, and then I rush to work. And then I was working with some radio as a producer at that time, so I would leave work late, and then by the time I get back home late, I have no time to go somewhere else. I have to do my home chores. And also I started doing swimming, jogging, hiking, and then involving myself in active youth networks. If there are forums, if there are workshops, I make sure I'm available. And also started speaking out. People started realizing my potential. And then I was like, if somebody can listen to me, why can't I also give my ear to someone to listen to me because of the same challenges they're facing? And that's when Action Week came into space. And we started giving time to young people who are facing challenges with drugs previously.
Yes. And now you've been sober for like 4 years?
Well, I've been sober for...
You said 2019,
yes,
right?
Yes, from 2019. But then from 2015 to 2019, I've been relapsing. Like
you come in and go.
Yes,
slowly. All right, that's a great story there. Of course, we'll get to Dr. Atong and get to find out. And we'll come back to you, of course. Remember, you're listening to the Muraya Breakfast Show, and this is where the big conversation begins every morning. We'll go to our news headlines. After the news headlines, don't forget, we will continue with our conversation this morning here on the Muraya Breakfast Show. We are talking about mental health, looking at drugs and alcohol abuse, and that's something that we will be looking at shortly here in the program. Good morning.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
It's a passage this morning here on the Muraya Breakfast Show, and our news headlines is Sudan Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan has accepted a proposal to extend a ceasefire which expires at midnight tonight, Thursday, for another 3 days. Now, the proposal was fronted by IGAD-led mediation team headed by President Salva Kiir. Now, the RSF paramilitary is yet to respond to the proposal. A group of international humanitarian workers fleeing fighting between Sudan Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces have finally arrived in Juba. Now, the 17 individuals spent more than 10 days traveling from Darfur and were flown from Wau to Juba aboard a humanitarian air service flight. And the Jonglei State Legislative Assembly has reopened after a 6 month recess. Now, the delay in reopening has been attributed to the dismissal of the speaker, Amera Tenyalier, who was later reappointed by President Sho Digri. And legislators in Jonglei State Legislative Assembly have pledged to work towards lasting peace in their respective constituency. Now, the MPs echoed the call at reopening of the State Legislative Assembly on Wednesday after 6 months recess. And the Transitional State Legislative Assembly of Jonglei has reopened after all these months. Well, that brings us right about now. It's coming out to 28 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to Muraya Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning with me, Sebit William. Now, this morning we are talking about mental health, and particularly abuse of drugs, which appear to be very, very common here, especially in South Sudan. And with us in the studio, we have Dr. Atong Ayuen, who is a medical practitioner, and also we have in the studio Daniel Juma Essien, who is a youth health activist at Action We. Dr. Atong, let's come to you. And listening to the story of Mr. Daniel here, Adam, listening to the story of Mr. Daniel, how does that make you feel?
Okay, it really, when he was narrating him, it took me to a journey of a lot of patience, because I had been doing this since 2009, and I relocated to Juba 2014, and since then, drug issue or alcohol and substance use problems are one of the biggest problem in mental health. It's really so courageous from him to step out and talk about it. And a profession, as a professional, we always say that a former addict will be able to help other addicts to get out of the problem. Because as the proverb says by Arabic, asal tabib, asal mujarribu mat asal tabib. So I can sit here, start talking what about in the books, how people feel, how things are. But with Mr. Daniel, he's talking fact.
He's gone through the journey.
Yes, he had gone through the journey. So we always have them on board. And we do have that so-called peer groups or the support groups, where those kind of support groups are led by people like him. I will be doing the therapeutic part of it. I will be doing the supervision part of it, the guiding part of it.
The professional part of it.
But he will be there to give the experience part of it and, you know, help those young ones how to go through things. So I really want to congratulate him. And I from this, this meeting today, I wanted to extend my willing to help if there is a room, if I can make a change in this.
Absolutely.
Because the drug problem in South Sudan is really a big one.
Yeah, and that was my next question, actually. Yeah. How big of a problem is the issue of drug abuse in South Sudan?
In generally, the magnitude of the problem of mental health generally is so big. But within that problem, drug contributed to the bigger part of it, the bigger portion of the problem. And since 2020, when we started collecting data from different states, it always reflects that drug problem constituted a bigger percentage of mental health presentation from states all over South Sudan. And in some of them, we can even go to more than 6% of the total mental health cases in some states. I don't have the accurate statistic, but we know that it's a big one. And currently in Juba Teaching Hospital, as we have a unit of like 20-bed capacity, we could have 13 to 15 patients who are doing drugs, when the rest of 5 to 7 could be like the other mental health issues. So with different varieties, and we are a country that is so good in attracting each type of drugs, you know, they just need to launch it in the world, then we're going to have it in South Sudan the next day.
Because our borders are open and all that. Okay. Yeah. Yes, Daniel, just take us, I want you to be the one saying this, of course, but let's look at, what are some of the causes of this drug abuse or getting into the level that you got into previously? You did mention about, of course, your fear, pressure, probably one of them. But what are some of the causes really that led people to start doing drugs?
Yeah, well, I did mention earlier about environmental factors. And if I'm talking about environmental factors, I'm talking about what are the policies in space that can be able to regulate some of these substances, and what accompanies some of those regulations. Each and every time when I'm here, I usually say that South Sudan is, or Juba in specific, is an environment that is so available and available for some of these substances for all age groups. And one of them is that we lack policies. If we don't lack policies, then I think we have them, but they're not implemented properly. Atong maybe may correct me later. And then another thing is also the fit-in, especially with teenagers. You know, the issue of fitting in a society. Sometimes it's associated with peer pressure. You find that if you're young and you want to belong to a certain group of people, and they say, if you're to be part of us, these are the things we do. And this is so common, especially with teenagers in schools. So for you to be able to fit in, you have to do this. I was shocked. I was in a school and we're having this conversation, and they told me, the lady told me she was influenced to mix soda with other alcohol during her birthday, and yet she just invited her friends. And they were like, each and every time we are doing birthday, we mix those ones. Parents will not be able to see. Mm-hmm. And then you find that they already got drunk and they ended up fighting and they end up injuring themselves. So sometimes they fit in, pushes some of these young people. Mm-hmm. And another issue is also, I think, stress, maybe. You're stressed from many things, and you think the best option is to do the drug so that you can be able to cope up.
All right.
And this I've seen also a lot. And given the fact that South Sudan has high rate of post-conflict stress disorders, it's so obvious that it can be moving from child, from the parents to the child, and it continues.
Yeah, people have gone through a lot.
Yeah,
indeed.
People have gone through a lot.
Okay, we'll get back to you, Dr. Atong. What could you like to add on that, particularly on some of the things that are pushing young people to these drugs?
What he put is true. And on top of that, I want to add, there is that curiosity and peer pressure. Mm-hmm. You can have a child who has been raised in a well family, there's no stress, there's nothing, mm-hmm. but he has that curiosity of testing.
Yeah, he wants.
So, yes, he wants to try. Mm-hmm. So we all have that curiosity within us. So some of this fall into drugs based on that curiosity thing. We also need not to forget culture, because we have that culture of where alcohol is a real part of everything in our life. So you are born, people drink alcohol, you die, people drink alcohol, you get married, people drink alcohol, you go out, people drink alcohol.
Actually, some people, when they are removing the child from the house, they put alcohol in the mouth, it's a part of the culture.
Yes, yeah, so even our culture contributed into this, leave alone the stresses and the other issues. And the bigger one of it is the economic status, because dealing drugs, you earn more money easier.
Yeah.
So this one make the drug dealers to be active more, so they will put all their effort to make sure that, you know, their trade, you know, like nourished. So whatever policies we are having in place, mm-hmm. they will put an effort to make sure that they disable it, because if now I'm a medical doctor, for instance, I'll make sure that I put places for healing and things. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that you need for your trade to go on.
Yeah.
So putting a policy in place, having an active officers, having an activist like Mr. Daniel, mm-hmm. putting health facilities in place to treat, those ones all block the drug dealing work. So they want to, they also sitting on the other side putting policies make how things go on, and the economic crisis actually make people fall easier into that kind of business.
All right. So let's talk about the solutions. As we've known, the reasons that are pushing us, that we've had experiences, we've known drugs, of course, there are a lot of effects of it. But Daniel, from your experience, you did mention how you got out of it. It's more of like a personal experience. Something terrible happened to you. You lost a child, and you realize people are not taking you serious in the house and all that. And you made a decision by that time to try to seek help. You told us that sometimes you relapse, you know, which happens a lot with people who take drugs and other substances. But how did you permanently make a decision like, you know what, this is it? What are some of the things that can get you out? For those who are right now doing it and those who are practicing it, what can they do to get themselves out of that? Before we get some professional advice from Dr. Atong, what can you, as a person who have gone through this, what do you think are some of the things that you can do to completely get you out of this?
Well, thank you so much, Sabit. I think one, when I was relapsing, I did not fully acknowledge that I was vulnerable. So one of the things that happens is that you need to accept that this is my situation, I am vulnerable, and I need help. Because sometimes it's very hard for one to quit these substances completely without acknowledging that you're already in a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is one. And from experience point of view, I acknowledged I was completely worn out and I needed a support. And another thing is also, you may not speak to a relative, but you can confide in someone you feel that they can be able to listen to you well And that is one thing. And you start speaking up. And when you start speaking up, you find that it gives you the comfort to speak in more spaces. And also another thing is you need to seek medical attention, because you need to know the level of the effect that the drug has on you, because the drug has a lot of effects, especially marijuana. It may have memory blur, a lot of things. So you need to have a check on that. And if you accept all this, and then you need to employ instructors. And one of the easiest things that takes people back into relapsing is the friend zone, because you want to go back to associate with the same friends. Okay. And you must swallow the hard pill and say, no, I'm saying no to this circle, and I want to change.
All right.
So my biggest point is that acknowledge you're vulnerable, seek help, and take the pill and cut off the circle.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Yes. And Dr. Atong, what professional advice will you give for people right now who are trying to get out of these drugs?
Okay. Number one, it's a multi-stakeholder approach. Me, the patient, and the community, plus the government institutions, NGOs, everybody's needed for that problem if you want to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what Mr. Daniel put it is very right. We put it in a professional way in the name of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be motivated to go through the journey, because it's not an easy journey, and you will be the only one to go through the difficulties. So if you didn't acknowledge and accept that you want to be part of this, it will be very hard on me to help you, because we help those who ask for help. Number two, you need to learn positive ways of handling your difficulties and your stress away from doing drugs, because I can promise improving your coping skills, but I cannot promise a land free of stress. So we always encourage the youth and the young generation to seek other way of how to go through your stress apart from doing drugs. And thank you for the internet. So in most of the time, they'll go through Googling, they'll do the things, and they're fine. And but if things went wrong and you are feeling unable to do it, you need to reach out asking for help. And definitely we as a medical practitioners, we are ready to put things in place. So Juba Teaching Hospital remain always open. This is the mini facility that we have now. We are putting our effort now as professional to try to put it's not a bigger one, but we try to put like in a specific area for drugs. So we separate those patients from the other ones.
All right.
But we always remain available.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Atong. And thank you, Daniel, for coming to Miraya Studios. That's the time we have this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Do appreciate your time.